The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL. The PFF NFL podcast is brought to you by Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card, and you don't even have to sign up to watch free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. What are you waiting for? Never pay again for TV by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. Also, a word from our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe is ready for anything that gets thrown at it. If a storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is ready. An intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. Say they destroy your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will get you the help you need. Sure, maybe it's overkill, maybe you don't need to be ready for every worst-case scenario, but that's what makes Simply Safe's home security system so great, it is always ready. Simply Safe could cost an arm and a leg, but it doesn't. Instead, they only charge you what's fair, 24/7 professional security monitoring, and it's just $14.99 a month. There are no contracts and no hidden fees. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. You've got to check it out. So go to simplysafe.com/PFF today. That's simplysafe.com/PFF. to protect your home and family today. SimplySafe.com/PFF.
Now we cue the music.
Welcome in. Steve Palazzolo here along with Sam Monson. Heading into week three of the NFL, Sam. It is time. How you doing, buddy? Better mood this week?
Yeah, much better mood. Got some significant sleep on, what was it, Tuesday night, Wednesday night? One of the nights without football. Got some sleep. Dramatically better mood.
Just going to be cranky Mondays for you?
Well, certainly this week.
I sure
let's see what
not.
Next week is
we'll
like.
See what happens. So, let's get right into the action. We did more of a quick-hitting style last week. We got a ton of good feedback on it because we got through every game, tried to give a PFF type of angle on every single game. So let's just get right into the action. Most everyone here is listening to this either Friday or Saturday, so we've got no Thursday night, nothing to look forward to, even though this is being recorded before the Thursday night game.
We assume it was a great game.
It was
a
great game.
Enjoyed it.
Baker Mayfield, I think, probably came off the bench and saved the Browns.
Sure.
That's my prediction. See what happens. I was hoping for Baker versus Darnold. I don't think we saw it.
No.
But we'll see. We're talking about something in the past, but we hope you guys enjoyed Thursday Night Football. Let's get right to the Sunday slate, though. Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars, an important division game, 1-1. Titans against the Jags. What are we looking for in this one, Sam?
Yeah, I'm curious about the Cam Robinson injury thing. Obviously, PFF has never been a great fan of Cam Robinson. You can see immediately looking at his tape that he is a talented player. He can make all the blocks you want. It just doesn't happen that often. And there's an awful lot of bad plays between the good plays. He went out last week. It didn't really hinder them against the Patriots. But his replacement did grade terribly. Sub 50 PFF grades across the board. Basically got beat up pretty badly against Adrian Claiborne. Will that come back to haunt them this week?
It didn't feel like it hurt them at all last week?
Yeah.
Because Bortles was just in the zone. Blake Bortles played great, and I think that's what I really want to see here is how do the Jags play on offense? Leonard Fournette not in the game last week, and you know we've been pounding the table for this anti-running back type of offense in the NFL these days. Like, don't worry about the running game. Don't worry about running back. But he was the fourth overall pick, and a lot of people think that he instilled this toughness and run attitude to the Jags, but they truly are a better offense without him.
I mean, at the very minimum, I don't see a drop-off between him and the guys behind him.
At the minimum.
Yeldon and Grant.
Yeah,
Corey
Grant's caught all six of his targets this year for 56 yards, five of which have gone to for first downs. And here's what I really want to see from the Jags. They were so aggressive last week. It was truly the opposite. I said this on the other podcast. Truly the opposite of what they did in the AFC Championship last year. I want to see if they continue to put the ball in Bortles' hands because he was really good last week. Same old deal. Can they continue that action on offense?
Mm-hmm.
Important division game. What do we have? Everybody taking the Jags here over at PFF. Not Green Line, though. We're not talking Green Line picks. Those are the special picks you guys got to go check with your PFF Elite subscription.
These are our crazy picks, which I appear to be leading at the moment.
I heard. That's good.
I've nailed. So
you have two ties in there, though.
Either I'm still. Actually, it doesn't matter because only Renner and Gordon picked the Jets on Thursday night. So either way, I'm still going to be leading. Whatever happened yesterday.
I'm proud of you.
Still be leading.
You're going to be counting every game.
Well, the point is that I nailed both Thursday night picks so far, which at the moment is the difference between me and other people.
All right, next game, San Francisco 49ers at the Kansas City Chiefs.
So you remember in training camp, there were videos coming out of Richard Sherman getting absolutely abused by Marquise Goodwin, who is a former sprinter.
Yes.
Richard Sherman, even at his peak, has never been the fastest cornerback in the league. And he's combated that by being able to get his hands on you and make sure that you never basically get a clean run right past him. But if he misses at the line or he isn't able to get hands on you, he can be run right by, and that's what Goodwin did to him. Tyreek Hill can do that to pretty much anybody in the NFL. He did it to Artie Burns this past week. You know, release off the line that gave him like 3 yards of separation laterally from Burns and then just ran right past him. Richard Sherman versus Tyreek Hill is a really interesting matchup because Hill can do that to anybody, but Sherman has allowed one catch so far this season. Two games, 99 snaps in coverage, one catch to Stephon Diggs, and that's it. That's all Sherman has given up so far, which honestly is a story that probably needs to be talked about a little bit more. A guy coming off an Achilles injury, how is he going to play? So far, really quite well.
And this will be a huge test, whether it's Tyreek, whether it is Watkins, as you say. I mean, it's the Kansas City explosive passing attack. I'm kind of looking for the same thing. It's all about coverage, right? We've got the lowest graded coverage units per PFF going head-to-head in this game, Niners and Chiefs. We've made fun of the Chiefs plenty on this, on the defensive side of the ball, and said, okay, it's like a Big 12 team. They're not going to play defense. They're going to be an explosive offense. And this is the Niners' chance to, you know, get Jimmy Garoppolo into a nice groove and attack Kansas City. I mean, it looks like it'll be another high-scoring affair. But, yeah, the two lowest coverage units in the entire NFL going head-to-head. Are we all buying into Kansas City? Yes,
yeah.
It looks like we are. Everybody's got the Chiefs in this one at home against the Niners. Next game, your favorite of the weekend, I know, Oakland Raiders at the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it kind of feels like I'm not going to like any Dolphins game at any stage this year, even though they actually have some interesting aspects of them. The thing that I want to see in this game is Robert Quinn really back to his best? Not his best, because his 2012 season was absurd, but he's playing well, like really quite well. He's the 11th best graded edge defender so far. Colton Miller, the Raiders' questionable first-round pick, depending on where you ranked him on your board. He's been okay so far. He's been reasonably good in pass protection, so at least he's stronger in the right area. But Quinn, like, is playing extremely well, and this becomes a fascinating one-on-one matchup on the blind side for the Oakland Raiders.
See,
I know you love the blind side.
I love the blind side, yes, of course. The blind side flips. So Quinn's an interesting thing because of the Dolphins, the big question marks all over the roster. They needed guys like Quinn to be good for them to be good. Now they're sitting at 2-0. I'm looking at the other side. I think John Gruden is trolling the media at this point.
It's hard to find a top-end pass rusher.
It's hard to find a pass rusher. So I'll be watching that Raiders pass rush. Can they get after the quarterback at all? Some numbers behind this. Arden Key leads the Raiders with 4 total pressures so far through 2 games. But his pass rush grade is only 57.8. That's not good. The highest pass rush grade on the team is Bruce Irvin, who has 2 pressures, a sack in a hit. And again, not every, it's not always going to be this linear, more pressures equals better grade. It's about style and how you do it and forced fumbles and other wins that don't count. But that's a bad pass rushing unit right now.
Well, it's hard to find good pass rushers, Steve.
It's very difficult.
Give the man a chance. He's only been there a few months. He hasn't had a chance to find one yet.
Our guys have convinced me, though, that it's not the wrong, it wasn't necessarily the wrong move to move on from Khalil Mack if you're rebuilding this roster.
Just as long as you don't spend the next 12 picks you have trying to find your elite pass rusher, that might make it a bad move.
First one where we disagree. You've got the Dolphins. I have the Raiders. You got the Dolphins going to 3-0, huh?
Yeah.
You're also going to pick against the Raiders every week, I think.
Pretty much. Plus, especially going cross-country to Miami.
The cross-country move. That's true. That's true. A lot of travel down to Miami.
Exactly.
All right, next game. One of the best games of the week, the New Orleans Saints against the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of great stuff in this matchup every single year.
Yeah, so New Orleans had the number one ranked offensive line in PFF's offensive line rankings this week. You can find them on profootballfocus.com. Mike Renner wrote them up. Atlanta's defensive line, with the exception of Grady Jarrett, is bad. So is this just, do they just get steamrolled by the Saints? Do they just line up, grind them into the ground? Alvin Kamara goes for 150. Like, this could be an absolute bloodbath up the middle. Alternatively, a bunch of people need to step up for the Falcons to avoid that happening.
Yeah, the Falcons' defense as a whole is kind of what I'm looking at just because of the big injuries with Keanu Neal and especially Deion Jones. And I think we're going to point to this as one of the things to watch throughout the season. Deion Jones does his damage against running backs, and Alvin Kamara is this unbelievable weapon for the Saints. So, you know, what do they end up doing on that side of the ball?
This is an interesting matchup, though, because the PFF analysts, us Muppets, are, you know, torn on this game. We go either way. Greenline has some very strong opinions on this game.
Yeah, I think one of the stronger games of the week might end up becoming the pick of the week. Yeah. We'll see. You guys got to check out the PFF forecast for that, and there's a couple other YouTube videos that will, you know, let you know what the pick is here. But they've got strong opinions on the game. We'll leave it at that, on the Saints-Falcons game. So it's Duke Riley essentially replacing Deion Jones. I want to watch him every single week because it's so important. A 42.9 grade for him so far this season with Alvin Kamara on the other side. He will be crucial. Who you got in this one, Sam?
I got the Saints.
I think I do too. I do. I do take the Saints, and I don't know. I'm doubting myself a little bit as well.
Already.
The both Saints corners have given up a passer rating of over 150 so far through two games. So Matt Ryan should still be fine after that bad week one. All right, next game, Buffalo Bills at the Minnesota Vikings.
This game generally fascinates me because I was giving you the numbers earlier today. Vegas has this as a 16.5 point spread game. So 16.5 points they think the Vikings are going to win by. And the over-under was what, 40? Did I say it was? 42, 41?
It's like 40.
Yeah,
40 or 41.
41,
yeah.
I think. So it's a 16.5 point margin of victory with the total teams combining for 41 points. They're basically saying the Buffalo is about to get absolutely hammered and barely score.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I don't disagree with as a concept. The thing that I'm looking for, though, is Lorenzo Alexander, who is a fascinating story, period, of a guy who bounced around the league, played multiple different positions from defensive tackle to off-the-ball linebacker, which is bizarre. Like, most people do not span that spectrum of front seven players. But he has been like the one ray of light in this malevolent cesspool that's been the Buffalo defense so far through the first 2 weeks of the season. He's the only guy, basically, that's grading well and looking good. Everything else around him stinks.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'll be watching the other guy that shouldn't stink over there on the Buffalo side, Tre'Davious White, going up against those Vikings receivers, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, when they're matched up. Maybe Laquon Treadwell. But Tre'Davious, usually he's not necessarily going to go track Stephon Diggs or anything. They're generally not going to flip sides.
Treadwell is basically only still there because they can't cut him without costing themselves money.
Yeah, I get it. But Tre'Davious off to a slightly slower start, even though the stats aren't bad. 69 coverage grade so far this season. Again, I don't think Buffalo's back seven should be as bad as they've looked the first couple weeks. So I think at some point they turn it around at least a little bit. Let's see if it's this week. I'm assuming everybody's got Minnesota in this one.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Vikings across the board for PFF. Again, Greenline might have a slightly different take on that because they're going up against the number. Indianapolis Colts are going to be taking on the Carson Wentz-led
Yes.
Philadelphia Eagles. I'm pretty sure that's all we're watching.
Exactly. Carson Wentz is back. He's coming back off that knee injury. That in and of itself is interesting. Then you get to the added layer of what does Carson Wentz look like this year after last season? Because as good as he played last season, so we've had this conversation a lot with Deshaun Watson. There were a bunch of numbers that suggested that Watson would come back down to earth,
right,
regardless of being injured. There were unsustainably high numbers in a few critical areas. Wentz wasn't quite the same level of absurdity, but he was really, really good on like third down and deep down the field. Those kind of
tight window throws.
Tight window throws. The low percentage stuff he was insanely good at last year. That stuff tends to regress back to the mean. So even, I mean, he could actually end up being a better player, but come back to the earth, come back down to earth, regress to the mean in those areas. Just generally, Wentz this year is a fascinating player to watch.
Yeah, I think you said it the right way. It's not as extreme as Deshaun Watson, but it's similar. It's a, you know, it's a lesser Deshaun Watson type of situation, but both of these guys are coming off of injuries as well, and that affects some of that regression. So what does he look like? One other matchup, I think, though, Quentin Nelson, who a lot of people are just showing, he's the left guard, first-round pick for the Colts, the otherworldly prospect at guard. By our numbers, a slow start for Nelson, even though people are showing him ragdolling people here and there. A slow start, but he's got to face guys like Fletcher Cox in this game. So, you know, that's going to be fun to watch. A guy that we're calling a generational guard in Quentin Nelson getting tested early in his career with guys like Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, and now this is perfectly timed because coming out of the Colts game, we get our Captain Andrew Luck reading. And I'm going to go with a couple of tweets, but let's cue the music and we shall read from the captain, the captain's latest missives. Let's see, where are we got? There's a couple of tweets here, which I'm going to read both of. Dearest mother, there has been little time to relish our victory over the Washington unit as we move out once again. A convocation of Eagles in Philadelphia seeks battle. Scouts report their captain, who may or may not be British royalty, returns to the field command. Andrew. And then this latest one today, just 3 hours ago. I didn't even know this existed until I looked it up right
now. This is really calling an audible.
Dearest mother, the unit inches closer to the Philly land by the day. General Reich, once a high-ranking officer for the Eagle Men, aiding them at Bow Valley, has been tracking their unique trail of feathers and cheese. I estimate we shall arrive by Sunday. Anxious. Andrew.
What's Reich? Is the captain?
General Reich.
General Reich. It's the general. It's pretty good. He sounds focused again. Mm. I'm just impressed with his demeanor this year. You know, his attitude.
Yeah. This, by the way, was a tremendous mistake. You got coffee.
Yes.
And that makes sense, right? I got a carbonated beverage, and that is leading me to want to belch on the microphone.
Bad for pot. We did that last week, man. We had that last week with the Cokes.
Yeah, we didn't learn. Well, I don't think we like brought it to the attention of the listeners at that point. We just like let rip before the podcast.
We're very unprofessional here.
Whereas now it's a struggle to contain and or dissipate.
You have a cough button.
I do. I mean, is that strictly for coughs or is that for belching as well?
Oh, no. They call it a cough button by default, but there's multiple uses for it. Any sounds that you need to make that you just want to hide from the listeners.
Just hit the cough button.
Okay. Go ahead and do that.
Got it.
Next game, we got the Green Bay Packers at the Washington Redskins, Sam. What are you looking at, buddy?
Well, this is the battle of the 2005 first-round quarterbacks.
That's what it is.
Which one is better? Is it Aaron Rodgers or is it Alex Smith?
It's like a Cal-Utah rematch from the Pac-10.
I'm just saying, one of those guys went number one overall and the other one didn't.
Yeah. Did they get the right one, the Niners?
No.
Don't think they did.
They did.
It's a fun matchup. Is that all you have? Just that?
Pretty much.
Rodgers versus Smith?
It's interesting, right? Aaron Rodgers is still hobbled. He's going to be busted up for like the better part of a couple of months playing hurt on that knee. But honestly, in a weird way, it actually makes him scarier because you force him to play completely within the pocket where he is also devastating. And in doing so, you almost make – there's no chance for a defense to actually pass rush him because the ball's coming out in 2 seconds. Alex Smith – like, he is what he is, right? He is this, what is he?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot the word you used.
Pathologically conservative. Pathologically conservative quarterback.
Sorry, put me on a spot there.
I know, yeah. I thought you could come up with it. Pathologically conservative quarterback, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, he is really good and really accurate at the underneath stuff, and if he can take just enough deep shots to take advantage of that and to keep the defense honest, he can be a really effective quarterback for a team that's in a good spot. And the Washington Redskins, okay, they lost last week, but I think roster-wise, this team is in a good spot. So, like, it sounds silly because obviously Aaron Rodgers is massively better than Alex Smith, but I think it is a fun quarterback battle.
Yeah, I'm still always interested in Alex Smith, especially in these new places. This is a battle of two out of the five quarterbacks in the NFL that have not thrown a turnover-worthy play yet, Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith.
Good stat.
However, Rodgers does have an interception, as does two of the other guys out of that five. So again, not every interception is considered turnover-worthy, so these guys have done a good job of taking care of the ball. The one thing, though, I do want to take a look at, I know it's early, but if you're just going by our team coverage grades over in PFF Elite, the Washington Redskins sitting atop the number, including a guy like Quentin Dunbar, who kind of had a breakout season last year, was solid, and made a name for himself. One of the best corners in the league so far this season. 89.6 coverage grade for him. So
great week one.
Yeah, so I just want to see Dunbar and, you know, what the, DJ Swearinger, both of those guys are grading well. We'll talk about Swearinger a little bit later. But this could be one of the more underrated games of the weekend, I think.
Yeah, I can see that.
But we still all went pretty unanimous with Green Bay. It's this Aaron, it's still this Rodgers factor. I think he's going to, you know, you got the better quarterback, and the Packers are looking pretty good overall. Next game, we get the Cincinnati Bengals at the Carolina Panthers. I think this is a tough one. This is a, you know, cross-conference game, and could go either way.
So the thing I'm interested to watch in this game is A.J. Green from the slot. When we were at the Cincinnati-Baltimore game last week.
We were there.
Hometown, from the press box.
We were there.
We were watching it, and it felt like A.J. Green was in the slot all the time because every time we looked up, he was scoring a touchdown from the slot. Turns out he was only actually there 10 snaps out of 69, and for the season has only been lined up in the slot 13 times. But on those 13 snaps, he has been targeted four times. Those four passes have all gone for touchdowns, and they've got 81 yards out of it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So every time they've targeted A.J. Green in the slot this year, they scored a touchdown.
This feels like the Bengals were reading PFF this offseason, talked about how important the slot is. They didn't necessarily move him there more often, but when they moved him there, they're like, all right, this is mismatched territory.
So, one, what do the Panthers do to combat that? And two, do they have a better plan than putting their really short slot cornerback on A.J. Green the way the Ravens did with Tavon Young? Because the Panthers typically play Captain Munro in the slot, and he is a small corner as well. So what do they do?
The Bengals did a nice job of scheming those plays, too, because sometimes when he's inside, it's, you know, inside guy runs the corner route. Another touchdown was just straight up. He just went off the line on a drag route or a deep cross. So that's an interesting matchup. I'm going to the other side of the ball. Christian McCaffrey, who has been a high volume target out of the backfield for the Panthers, going up against the Bengals linebackers, who historically are just never good.
Yeah.
Especially in coverage. And this year, you know, pretty much the same. Hardy Nickerson, 60.5 coverage grade. Nick Vigil, 60.2 coverage grade. Jordan Evans, when he's out there, 29.8 coverage grade. He was supposed to be a little bit of the opposite coming out. Not great against the run, but this athletic presence. He's just very volatile at linebacker in general. Preston Brown, when he was in there in week one, was okay. But, yeah, just some questions underneath for the Bengals. And Christian McCaffrey, who is seeing a ton of action right now. I want to see that matchup because I think he can go off again.
Yeah, I can see that.
Where are we going with this one?
I went Cincinnati.
I think I did too.
No, you didn't.
I lost my sheet.
You went Carolina.
I did?
Yep.
It's a misprint. I think it auto-filled.
I don't think it did.
I wanted to go Cincinnati.
Yeah?
But I did end up going Carolina, apparently.
Yeah.
I think this one's close to me for me, though. It's pretty much a toss-up. All right, next game, Denver Broncos at the Baltimore Ravens, Sam. What are we looking at?
Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay against that Baltimore run defense. Lindsay is averaging almost 4 yards per carry after contact. He's broken six tackles despite weighing about as much as my shoes. Baltimore basically has a defensive front full of nose tackles. So how does a guy that weighs 7 pounds run against guys that just clog the middle and stuff the run all day?
I like the Ravens matchup there overall with some, you know, some question marks. With some question marks, I'm not expecting Denver to be a huge factor this year. Same thing as last year, right? Starting out hot, couple games at home. Well, so I'm expecting some regression from them.
I mean, like last year, though, we said when they started off well, it was because their quarterback was playing at a viable level. And when he went to hell, the team went to hell, right? But Case Keenum's okay, so that might actually maintain itself. I like Philip Lindsay for the sole reason that he is one of the few NFL players that weighs less than me.
What's he? What's his official weight?
165.
Okay, that's impressive.
At 5'8".
That's impressive. That's not supposed to happen.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, there's a much broader spectrum of NFL players that weigh less than you. But there's not that many that weigh less than me.
That number's dwindling, by the way.
The ones that weigh less than you?
Yeah, as I let myself go year over year. Like, there's far fewer players that weigh less than me.
When, like, offensive tackles start to weigh less than you, that's when you know you've got it's going too far.
If we're doing this pod in 10 years, there's a good chance I'm sitting here at 375 as the heaviest player potentially in
the NFL.
Yeah. There's a good chance the way I'm trending right now. But we just got back from the gym, so.
Yeah, there's like one out of shape offensive tackle the coaches are yelling at every week. And he's the one guy that's heavier than Steve in 10 years' time.
Time to get my ass back in shape. Anyway, the Broncos pass rush is what I'll be watching. Von Miller off the edge, James Hurst on the other side. They'll be facing each other plenty. The Ravens were much better in week one against a bad Bills defensive front. Not nearly as good against the Bengals in week two against a good Bengals defensive front. So kind of want to watch that Ravens O-line. Even Marshall Yanda had some trouble with Geno Atkins last week.
It's probably worth letting people know, right? For the people on YouTube, it's fairly self-apparent. Steve is a significantly larger human being than me. He is allegedly listed height of 6'10".
6'10".
I mean, there's some controversy about that.
There's no controversy.
May or may not be 2 inches shorter than that. But anyway, he's a big human being. Tipping the scales around where, Steve?
The most recent reading was 282.
Okay. So that puts Steve approximately 11 inches taller than I am and somewhere in the region of 100 pounds more than me.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
That's why I can't do as many pull-ups as you.
This is true.
Our pull-up competition was one-sided.
That's just the context when it comes to, you know, the NFL players weighing less than us.
I don't think everyone at PFF hates Denver. However, we're all taking Baltimore.
Yeah. This is the thing, right? Unanimous could mean everybody thinks your team sucks, or it could just mean every single person thought it was really close.
That's all.
49-51 and went 51.
Next game, we've got the New York Giants at the Houston Texans. What you got, Sam?
Deshaun Watson is currently the highest pressured quarterback in the NFL right now, almost 50% under pressure. Now, over 40 is a high number. Over 45 is typically you can't play under this level of duress. Around 50 is just absurd. 48% was the level Case Keenum was pressured in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles and just had no shot of playing, right?
Yep.
That is the level Deshaun Watson is under pressure right now. Now, some of that is him. He does bring more pressure on himself than Case Keenum did last year, for example. But the Houston Texans have allowed 7 more pressures than any other offensive line in the NFL so far through 2 games. The lowest pass-blocking efficiency score in the NFL, naturally. So I'm kind of fascinated by how that dynamic works over any extended period of time.
As with most quarterbacks that extend plays like him, there's a little bit to blame on Watson, of course. But definitely something to keep it. This is what we expected, right?
Yes.
And this is what we've talked about all offseason. Mm-hmm. So that's worthwhile. And then I'm going to go Saquon Barkley on the other side. I had a tweet that got everybody all angry. If you take out his 68-yard touchdown
run,
which you can't take out, it happened, Sam. It absolutely credit to Saquon Barkley for his spectacular week one 68-yard touchdown run. However, other than that run, he's averaged 2.4 yards per carry.
That the cough button worked perfectly.
It worked. I wonder if it got picked up over there. You can turn your head, too, to hide from the YouTubers.
They saw.
2.4 yards per
carry. That's why you need to watch YouTube so you can see us let rip with belches while the cough button hides it for the audio.
Download and listen and watch.
The other thing that I'm kind of curious to know is, given how bad that Houston Texans offensive line is, can Damon Snacks Harrison get some pass rush pressure?
Ooh, that's
like
a good
this
one.
Could be a this could be a marquee game for him.
Racks like a three up pressure
like,
game.
Yeah, racks up like 3-4 pressures, has a career game.
I like it. So yeah, the point with Barkley, it's not to diminish the 68-yard touchdown run, but if you're averaging 2.4 per pop over say 40-ish carries, that's very inefficient for your offense and bad offensive football.
So far he's exactly what we said
he was.
He
is exactly what he said.
And the problems have been exactly what we said, that a guy in that situation is like the third or fourth most important thing for the success of the offense. Fix the quarterback, fix the pass protection. The running game is determined by the offensive line blocking for him, and then the running back can give you the value add. You got to fix the first three things before you can spend luxury picks on the fourth thing.
Yep, so let's just see how his development goes against Houston and the great J.J. Watt up front. Quick break to tell you guys about our friends over at MyBookie, of course. who you're going to pick is just as important as where you're going to pick them. So you got to get to mybookie.ag. We've been doing some good stuff over there, Sam. How you doing with your wagers so far?
Doing okay. It's been up and down. You're betting on something nuts this week, right?
What's that? Oh, I've got a prop bet out there.
Yeah.
I'll mention it later.
Later?
It'll come up later.
Okay.
I got a prop bet out there.
All right.
I did it at mybookie.ag because it's so simple. The prop bets are great. The season-long stuff is great. Plus, they've got in-game stuff. I recommend this to my listeners because they've been good to me. So I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win and they pay. I mentioned the in-game stuff, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. Now, for whatever reason, Sam, they really want people to sign up after 7 p.m. Eastern. I don't know if it's because somebody comes home, have a glass of wine, they think you're gonna spend a little bit more money. I'm not sure exactly why, but they want you after 7 p.m. Eastern. But if you do, they're going to give you an additional $25 free on deposits of over $100.
Well, that sounds like a good deal.
That's a good deal. So join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar when you use the promo code PFF25 to activate it. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code PFF25. That's PFF25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out till 7 p.m., you get the extra $25 free play by using promo code PFF25. It's all up to you guys. I'd wait till after dinner. Take that extra money. You play, you win, you get paid over at mybookie.ag. A couple more games to get through, Sam. Los Angeles, a battle of Los Angeles, the Chargers and the Rams.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Just the idea that this is a battle of Los Angeles with, you know, the San Diego Chargers.
With the Chargers and the Rams.
St. Louis Rams. Anywho. Keenan Allen versus the Rams secondary is what I'm fascinated in. You've got this Tlaib, Peters dynamic. They've allowed 39 yards as a pair combined over two games. That's pretty spectacular. But what's interesting is Keenan Allen plays a lot in the slot. So in theory, you can take him away from Tlaib and Peters, move him inside where he can really exploit the weak link on that Rams defense. And the weak link in this instance is Nickel Roby-Coleman, who has allowed 37 yards himself over two games. So the weak link of this Rams secondary has allowed 37 yards in two games.
That's pretty good.
A really good secondary.
See, I think it's going to be more about the line, trying to find a way to exploit the linebackers. So I know the Rams like to play man coverage and all that stuff, and they'll do their best on Keenum Allen. But if you saw last week's game, the Chargers were just shallow cross after shallow cross after
shallow
cross.
That is like the Rivers to Allen MO is shallow crosses.
Shallow crosses. But I think that's going to challenge the Rams linebackers, where if there truly is a weakness on the defense, it's everybody who calls himself a linebacker in this defense, whether that means the outside backers rushing or the inside backers playing in coverage. So I do think that is potentially a matchup to watch. I know you've got some other matchup in this one you want to talk about later, perhaps.
Yeah.
Anytime the Rams are involved. Mm-hmm. Real quick, other side of the ball, you know, Chargers there, pass coverage, a step back a little bit. Back in week one, they played the Chiefs. Last week, they played Josh Allen. That's the two extremes of the NFL right now. So I do think this is a game that will test them out. You know, the Sean McVay, his pass offense going against that Chargers pass defense, I think will be a pretty fun matchup.
Yeah.
Do we both have the Rams? Are
Everybody
we all buying in the Rams?
Wow.
Everybody's got the Rams?
Yeah.
What's a home game? So
yes, of course.
You got to go with the home team if it's close.
That kind of travel distance, it's a rough.
Just saying, the Chargers, it's going to be a tough week for them. So we're all taking the Rams in that one. Chicago Bears at the Arizona Cardinals. They are who you are, who we think they are. They are who we think they were. We are who they think they are.
Wow, you wrote that right off the tracks.
Rest in peace, Denny Green.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The thing to watch for me is, will the Arizona Cardinals make it past the 50-yard line this week? They almost didn't last week, legitimately. It took them until the last couple of plays of the game to make it across the 50-yard line. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was bad.
Like, it's one thing getting shut out of a game, but most people get shut out. They spend some time in the opposing territory. It just doesn't, you know, they can't manage to punch it in or they shank a field goal or whatever. The Cardinals, they almost didn't cross the 50-yard line in the game. So, yeah,
good.
Will they manage to do that against what is looking like a really good Chicago defense? Khalil Mack has 12 total pressures in 2 weeks. I know it's hard to find a top-level pass
that's
rusher.
Hard.
And that's why the Bears went out and traded two first-round picks to get him and paid him a boat ton of money.
If you can't find one, you got to go get one.
Exactly. So they found one. It was hard, but they did it. That whole defensive front is grading extremely well. Arizona has the lowest ranked offensive line in the NFL through 2 weeks, according to our latest offensive line rankings.
Lowest?
The lowest.
Khalil Mack against the lowest?
Khalil Mack against the lowest ranked offensive line in the game.
Yeah, that could be tough. I need to see Mitchell Trubisky, or Mitch. I'm telling you, go back to Mitch. He'll look much cleaner in the pocket.
Can Mitch throw to his left?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Mitchell's got no shot.
Right.
Mitch Trubisky right now, currently number 29 out of 33 qualifiers in passing grade, out of the top 33 qualifiers that I saw. I'm pretty sure it's 33. Not the type of year two that I expected. I'm not ready to completely write him off or anything like that, but I'm getting some rookie year Jared Goff type of vibes. Where there's,
yeah.
You know, there's a couple good things, but there's just some bad, bad football in there that's concerning.
It's weird because a lot of quarterbacks now, when they if they're amazingly good, they get it immediately. There's not this kind of development time. They just it clicks. They're immediately awesome, and that kind of so Patrick Mahomes, right? Okay, he sat for a year, but Russell Wilson, whatever. There's a bunch of guys that come in, and from day one, you can see this guy is the real thing. He's amazing, and it kind of it makes you expect everybody does that, right? That's how quarterbacks are now. You either see it from day one or you don't see it at all,
right?
But there is still this path to development for guys like Jared Goff. Terrible year one. Okay, bad situation. Carson Wentz, you know, hit the ground running right away, but then fell right off in that rookie year. Year two is a dramatic step forward. There is still this route to developing as a quarterback over a few years.
Guys get it at different times.
It's just that people now expect you to get it from day one. Otherwise, there's something wrong.
Yeah, so I think that's fair. I'm going to watch him. Right now, currently, in our play-for-play grading, has more negative plays than positively graded plays. That's never good because it's usually pretty clear win for positively graded plays the way we do it. So something to keep an eye on in that one. Are we all taking Chicago because nobody has faith in Arizona?
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
They may be the worst team in the game.
Dallas Cowboys at the Seattle Seahawks, a game that probably looked much better on paper 3 years ago. Seattle, the one thing I'll say about Seattle, it's their first home game.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a little bit better than they showed, but will look a little bit better here at home.
They probably are better at home. The thing I'm looking for, though, is a one-on-one matchup again. We had Jermaine Ifedi against Khalil Mack this week. And I mean, Ifedi didn't do well, but he did better than I would have said he would do against.
It was really weird how they were using him. Like how he was almost trying to catch Mack. So they were chipping Mack, and then he was trying to catch Mack like almost in Russell Wilson's lap. He was setting way too close to Russell Wilson.
He did better than I would have expected him to do against Khalil Mack, even given the help and the fact that Mack then went to terrorize Dwayne Brown for a little bit. But now we've got Jermaine Ifedi against DeMarcus Lawrence. So it's like round two of, oh no, here it comes. So if Fetty's given up three sacks through two games, like I say, struggled against Khalil Mack, although probably better than I thought he would do. DeMarcus Lawrence, though, is still on a tear. He's not gone back to the sort of average player. He is still on this defensive player of the year caliber run that he had a year ago. 12 total pressures through two games. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's the same as Khalil Mack, right? So, yeah, he's on fire. He goes up against Jermaine Ifedi, who is essentially still a liability at right tackle. How's that going to go?
Yeah, that's a tough matchup, I would say.
Yeah.
Tough matchup for Ifedi once again. You can't hide right tackles in the NFL today, Sam. That's the thing. I want to see Seattle's pass rush on the other side because they've got the second lowest grade behind only the Raiders. So their pass rush, again, something that made Seattle great. Coverage on the back end, Legion of Boom, but also just a bunch of guys who could get after the quarterback. Currently, right now, their top-graded pass rusher, Tom Johnson.
Who's at the Vikings.
No. Right.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore.
That's not great.
Frank Clark's number two. Frank Clark does have 7 pressures, 2 sacks, and 5 hurries.
He was the only guy that looked like anything against the Bears.
Yeah, that's it. So after, just from a pure pressure standpoint, Frank Clark has 7, and then Quentin Jefferson and Deion Jordan are tied for second with 2 apiece.
Yeah.
So the Seattle pass rush needs to get going. Chances are they'll be better. Again, at home, the crowd, the 12th man, if they have any energy after the start. But that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Where are we going? This could be
Seattle
here.
Both of us.
A lot of Seattle. Yeah,
except Neil.
I got the Seattle coming home and looking better. All right, off to Sunday Night Football. New England Patriots at the Detroit Lions.
So it's a big question mark because he's still on the injury report after getting cut for this hamstring injury. But Josh Gordon, I want to see him play. So the only thing I'm interested in this game is if Josh Gordon plays. If he's not playing, I'm just not watching. I refuse.
Okay.
The end.
So I want to watch the Lions defense against Tom Brady. You've got Matt Patricia, who supposedly knows Brady inside and out. We've seen this story before, former defensive coordinators against Brady or whatever. Yeah. But to me, it's still this fascinating matchup. Like, if Brady ever had to go up against Belichick, how would Belichick game plan against Brady, right? When you have Patricia, I mean, it's like the closest thing to it, I think. So I just want to see this whole thing. The Lions defense has been bad, bottom five in our grades, defensively, coverage, all that stuff. That's why my prop bet was over 391 yards for Brady.
There you go.
Brady in a dome against the Lions defense, coming off a loss.
That's a lot of yards.
Potentially with like an 87-yard touchdown to Josh Gordon mixed
that
in
there.
That
would help.
Right?
Yes.
That's what Gronk only had a couple catches last week. There's like all these things pointing to, let's get back to Gronk. Let's bounce back from last week. We're in a dome. Let's
Gronk
tear it up.
Versus those Lions linebackers could definitely get you halfway there.
Yeah, so that's what I'm looking at. I'm just fascinated by this whole, if somebody who knows a quarterback inside and out, how do they attack things?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
We're all taking New England.
I'm still not watching if Josh Gordon's not playing.
Okay. Well, we'll let you know once the inactives
Unless
are announced.
Unless it's a Sky game, in which case I'm going to have to.
Yeah, that's your job.
Yeah.
But it's Sunday Night Football, so it won't
that.
Be.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
So you're good. Monday Night Football, which coming into the season, it was like, oh, that's an interesting matchup. And now all of a sudden, it's like the Pittsburgh Steelers against Fitzmagic. What a fascinating storyline.
We need that Fitzmagic music.
Our top graded quarterback.
Yeah, top graded quarterback through two games. Not just the top graded quarterback this season, top graded quarterback we've ever seen through two games by a distance. Like, he's miles ahead of anybody else. 9 big time throws over two games. That's like 3 more, I think, than anybody else.
What if I told you, so before the season, I'd be like, oh, we've got the top graded quarterback against the number 28 graded quarterback.
Yeah.
It's the Steelers and the Bucks.
Which
and Jameis Winston's out for 3 games.
Yeah, which one's which?
Yeah. Of course, well, Big Ben's ranked number 1 and Fitz is number 28, right?
Yeah.
Flip them.
Nope.
Big Ben.
It's insane.
At number 28.
But the thing is, right? So we've been obviously we're expecting this Fitzpatrick roller coaster to nosedive into a cliff at some point and you get old Ryan Fitzpatrick. But the Pittsburgh secondary is not good. Like, Mahomes just carved them to pieces. They couldn't do anything against him. This is a decent game for that train to keep rolling, right?
Yes. Yeah, he's supposed to nosedive. I was wrong. I was completely wrong on calling the regression for Fitzpatrick.
We all know it's coming at some point. It just hasn't yet.
But
this is a good game for it to keep going.
It is interesting listening to our guy Zach Robinson as we talk at the office, though. We did a little YouTube video talking about Fitz a little bit. And he's just saying how comfortable he is, and he's got no-look passes, and he's just ripping passes left and right that he's just confident in. I mean, there's something to it when you have those receivers, and that's why I want to see the Bucs receivers against the Steelers secondary, because they should absolutely light them up again.
Well, it's like what I was saying, that for some reason you can go on a season-long run of outlier play, like Brett Favre in 09. It is possible.
This could be crazy.
This could be crazy.
So that's it.
That's all the games.
Bucs wide receivers versus cornerbacks, but we're both still taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The only person taking Tampa Bay is Zach.
No,
there's a couple. Sorry, I can't read.
Zach Gordon.
Zach, Jeff, and Gordon.
Jeff Ratcliffe.
Oh, so pretty good. All right, we've got a couple segments. We started last week. Looking forward to this weekend. Who's going to be our Dalton Coaster of the week? Again, the guy that either is too high or too low.
So I think all the people so far we've done have been too high, and we expect them to come back down to earth. I'm going the other way. Big Ben, the 28th ranked quarterback, apparently, according to our PFF grade, so I've just learned, has been terrible through the first two games. He's coming back against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay secondary is still not great. Big Ben is going to come back. Pittsburgh is chaos at the moment. Antonio Brown, disciplined for sitting out practice. Apparently, I rate that they're not like heaving.
That's when
deep.
The Steelers are at their best.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. They're in the foxhole right now. Backs against the wall. It's crisis time. This is when they come out. Big Ben, Antonio Brown, like 200 yards. It's going to be a big Ben day.
I'm going to go DJ Swearinger for my guy that's going to come back down to earth, one of our top-graded safeties, going up against Aaron Rodgers. He's going to have him on a string. Play action, moving left
Here's
and right.
Here's the thing, though. Swearinger's actually kind of good now.
I know. I still don't believe in him. I'm still like I'm like you with freshman players, where you just can't believe that they can get better and become good.
You're just ruined by that one year where Swearinger seemed to be at the heart of every single coverage bust in the Texans defense.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
Swearinger's coming back down to earth. Biggest mismatch of the year, Sam. Of the week, I'm sorry.
Aaron Donald against the what passes for the Los Angeles Chargers offense.
Do we
line.
Just tape the segment once and we're just going to run it every week?
We could do, but I think this one particular, because the Arizona Cardinals are the 32nd and lowest ranked offensive line in the NFL right now. The Los Angeles Chargers are the 31st and therefore second worst offensive line in the league right now. I mean, the Chargers can never somehow string an offensive line together. Mike Renner, his line with the Chargers is that offensive line was built on an Indian burial ground. The more people that go down, the more I'm inclined to believe that. Aaron Donald versus substandard offensive linemen is just, it's a nightmare.
It's ugly. I'm going to go with the one I mentioned earlier, Patriots passing offense against the Lions pass defense, especially Darius Slay.
That's key.
Concussion protocol. Even though Brady doesn't target receivers anymore, he might now.
Well, he might
Josh
if
Gordon
he has
plays.
One. Yeah.
But again, I just think there's a lot of things pointing to the Pats tearing up the Lions pass defense. I think that's going to be the mismatch of the week.
Okay.
Your favorite segment of the week.
Yeah.
I hope you had something.
I know, and you made me forget it.
It's what grinds our gears.
You wouldn't let me run this on Monday, and now I can't remember what it is.
I told you to save it, and then we couldn't remember what it was. We're going to share this one.
What needs to happen is on Monday, you need to like write down the things that are annoying the crap out of me, because as we've discovered, Mondays are going to be a cranky Sam day. So we
the best part was when you couldn't remember. When I was trying to figure out, when you were trying to figure out what it was,
yeah.
I guessed like 50 things that you hate,
yeah,
and none of them. Like that's how many things you hate.
Yeah, and I'm like, just stop naming things that I don't like. It's not where that wasn't helping. But yeah, we need to tap into Cranky Mondays, because that's going to be what's feeding what grinds my gears this
that's
week.
Fair.
So yeah, we're both going to share this one, and actually both it surfaced during that Thursday night game, Baltimore against Cincinnati, in the press box, the underthrown deep ball being bailed out by a defensive pass interference penalty is ridiculous. It's
grinds
a terrible rule. We are rewarding crappy offensive play.
Hate it.
And Joe Flacco has been the biggest beneficiary of this over the past decade in the entire league. I can't remember the last deep throw he had that was not underthrown. Torrey Smith made an entire career out of like trying to come back through the defensive back for the 10-yard underthrown pass that Joe Flacco sent his way, just like throwing your arms out and then flag comes in. And the counter you get from everybody at this is, well, just turn around, find the ball. Like, don't play bad defense, and it won't be a penalty. The first thing is it's not necessarily bad defense, right? A lot of teams are coached not necessarily to find the ball. We use this as this universal truth that you get in position, then turn your head around, find the football. Some teams are coached not to do that. You are coached to play the receiver, which is don't you can if you turn looking for the ball, you inherently lose track of where the receiver is. It's a difficult thing to juggle and to maintain, right? So some defensive back coaches teach their guy, keep playing the receiver, and when he goes up for the ball, you play your hand through his hands. That's how you break it up. You don't need to find it yourself. You just need to prevent him catching it. So it's not necessarily bad technique or bad defense or anything like that. The other thing is, if the ball is so absurdly out of whack with where it should be, you simply should not have to like jump out of the guy's way because he's trying to adjust back through where you are. You know, when you talk about you're entitled to the space you're in, right?
Yeah.
I should be allowed to keep running in a straight line down the field. I shouldn't have to jump out of your way.
I shouldn't have to worry because your quarterback underthrew you by 5 yards.
Just because the quarterback underthrew you 10 yards, I shouldn't have to leap out of your way when you're trying to come back for the ball.
It grinds my gears too, Sam.
Good.
We're sharing it this week. It's
the
worst.
Ridiculous thing.
There's nothing I hate worse than putting into our PFF analysis tab a negative grade and then for 40 yards.
Yeah.
For 30 yards.
So I think defensive pass. I'm not even one of these people necessarily thinks that defensive pass interference should not be a spot foul, but it should be thrown out of the window if the pass is underthrown by like 5-10 yards.
Yeah,
you just shouldn't call it. And it's perfectly acceptable, I think, to put that on the officials. There's plenty of other judgment calls that are folded into all this stuff.
That pass
anyway.
Was too bad.
Yeah. That's like uncatchable, right? If it's an uncatchable throw out of the back of the end zone, it's not defensive pass interference. If it's uncatchable because if it's just 5-10 yards underthrown, it should not be defensive pass interference because the pass is so absurdly bad that it doesn't deserve to be rewarded by a penalty.
So I could see it. They throw the flag. They huddle.
Yeah.
They pick it up and they wave it back at Joe. Yeah. Sorry, Joe.
5 yards underthrown.
Terrible pass,
not getting
Joe.
It.
Sorry.
Yep.
Not doing it.
We fixed it.
Fixed. Grinds our
Excellent.
Gears. All right, let's wrap it up.
That was productive. Usually grinds our gears doesn't go anywhere, but this time we actually fixed it.
Yeah, we did. Make better judgment calls, refs.
Yeah.
Marquee matchup of the week, Sam. What are we looking at?
Marshawn Lattimore versus Julio Jones.
Every time, every year.
2.1? Year two, first
yes.
game?
Yeah, yeah,
2.1.
Yeah. I like it. Twice a year.
Yes. It was fun, rookie year. And Marshawn Lattimore was so good that we actually got to see them track Julio Jones. He went one-on-one. They were going with him the whole way. He had 14 targets, 9 catches, 213 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception, 2 pass breakups for an overall passer rating of 77.9. Julio, whilst in Marshawn Lattimore's coverage.
I like it. It's going to be marquee twice a year. I want to debate between a couple marquee matchups because I mentioned Aaron Rodgers versus Washington's pass coverage, number one in the NFL so far. And then the one that you mentioned, too, with the Chargers, Keenan Allen going against Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. It can't just be all shallow crosses for Keenan Allen. So I want to see Allen one-on-one with Talib and Peters because he's going to have to win at some point, even if they put him in the slot and it's Roby Coleman. So a lot to like in that game from a pass game standpoint. So that'll do it.
We're
quick,
done.
Quick and efficient again. We hope everybody enjoys your week 3 NFL action. Of course, don't forget to get to profootballfocus.com. Get your PFF Elite Package. That's where you can find premium stats and our exclusive PFF Green Line picks. All right, guys. Everybody enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you guys Monday with our week 3 review. Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week 1. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL.